Hi, this is Ruben Gonzalez. Welcome to Ruben University. Today, we're going to talk about attitude. Your attitude isn't determined by circumstances, but by how you respond to circumstances. Your mind determines your attitude. You can respond positively or negatively. It's how you react to events, not the events themselves, that determines your attitude. So your attitude is your choice. Coach John Wooden said, "Things turn out best for the people who make the best out of the way things turn out." The Olympic attitude, whatever it takes. Why do some people pursue their dreams while others bury their dreams? It comes down to belief and desire. Whether you believe it's possible, whether you believe you can do it, and whether you want the dream badly enough to do whatever it takes. Let's say you believe it's possible and you think there's a good chance you can pull it off. Now, what steps do you need to take to make it happen? Step number one is the willingness to take the risk. Many people are able, but few are willing. You see, you always have to give something up in order to get something better. Most people aren't willing to give anything up. They're not willing to make any sacrifices. They expect success to just fall in their lap. That's just not how life works. There's no free lunch. Not only do you have to be willing to go for it, but you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Let's break that last sentence down. You have to be willing. Willing means you're open-minded. Open-minded means you're not judgmental. It means not making any excuses. It means you're open to doing whatever might be required. Whatever it takes is a level of commitment. Being committed means you've made a decision that you'll continue to pursue your goal no matter what the consequences. When you have a clear objective and are committed, you'll naturally start doing the things that'll move you towards your objective. And you'll naturally stop doing the things that'll move you away from your objective. When you have a dream you're willing to fight for, the process takes care of itself. Whatever it takes isn't just a level of commitment. It's a high level of commitment. And believe it or not, it's the lowest level of commitment that will guarantee that you'll realize your dream. Let me explain. If reaching your dream, whether it be to make the varsity team, or to become financially free, or to buy a new car, or to be able to take your family to Disneyland for 2 weeks, or to get your PhD, no matter what your dream is, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Here's why. If realizing your dream involved 64 items, 64 things you might possibly have to do, you have to be willing to do all 64 of them. If you're only willing to do 63 of them, but not number 64, then number 64 will be your undoing, and you can kiss your dream goodbye. It's an attitude thing. Life will seldom ask you to do all 64 things, but you don't know which ones you'll have to do, so you better be willing to do all 64. The whatever it takes attitude will help you do all the required tasks so that success will be assured. The trick is to be willing to do whatever it takes with no guarantees of success. Only then is success possible. Make a decision that you're willing to do whatever it takes to realize your goals and dreams. Dream, struggle, victory. Back when I was in grade school, my dad encouraged me to study the lives of successful people. He said, "Success leaves clues. Read biographies and you'll figure out what works in life." I've been a student of success ever since. I've read countless biographies, and I've found them all to be very similar. They're all the story of someone who had a dream, then they faced a struggle, and finally had a victory. Dream, struggle, victory. Dream, struggle, victory, then somebody shows up and writes a book about them. We all have dreams. What made those people different is that they had the guts to take action. The dream was a call to action, an inner longing to strike out on adventure. They chose to heed the call and to take the journey. Choosing to take the journey takes courage, and staying the course all the way to victory takes courage and perseverance. That's why we admire people who go for it, because they have the heart of a champion and the adventurous spirit of winners. Something life-changing happens when you decide to take the journey. If you refuse to quit, you'll inevitably find that you have hidden resources and abilities within you. You find out what you're made of. You always win by taking the journey. The journey transforms you. Who you become is the true purpose of the journey. Face your fear, take the journey, heed the call, bite off more than you think you can chew. Do it now, you'll never be the same. How to become self-motivated. The reason most people quit on their dreams is because they've forgotten why they wanted their dream in the first place. Once you stop focusing on the why, you start focusing on your obstacles, and then you get discouraged, and finally you quit. The key to becoming self-motivated is to find your why and to constantly focus on it. If you do that, discouragement can't get a foothold on your life, and you won't quit. Many people set goals without having a clear, compelling reason for them. You need to have strong whys to back up your goals. A powerful why is what separates a goal setter from a goal achiever. The why becomes the driving force that gets you into action. The why is the motivation, but it's up to you to become the starter, the spark plug, if you will, for your why. Once you get that why going, then the why will get you going. The best way to effectively use your why to become unstoppable is to create a why card. The why card is written specifically for you. You need to read your why card every morning and evening with power, passion, and conviction over and over for 3 minutes. That's how you jumpstart your why. If you do this every day, your why will automatically drive you to take massive action in the pursuit of your dream. Fear of failure is what keeps most people from realizing their dreams. Reading your why card will give you the courage to take action in spite of your fear, because if your why is big enough, the facts don't count. Initially, your why will fit on a 3x5 card. As you become crystal clear about the life you want to create, your why might end up being several pages long. My why started out as a short card and eventually became a 30-minute audio. I would listen to my why audio on the way to the gym, and it fired me up to be my best. Here's an example of what somebody might write on their why card. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to realize my dream because my dream will transform my life. I'm financially free. My business is booming, and because of it, I'm spending more and more time with my family. We live in a dream home in Colorado. We also have a winter home in Spain. We travel the world as a family. I see our children using the principles of success to positively impact other people's lives as they achieve their own dreams. We're donating 50% of our income to the charities of our choice. I'm building a library for our local school. I'm in terrific shape. I'm making a big impact in other people's lives. I'm enjoying the fruit of my work. Here's some tips for writing your why card. Your why card needs to be written in the present tense. It needs to be filled with action verbs, and it needs to make you feel empowered and strong. If it doesn't, you're not dreaming big enough. Your dream needs to take your breath away. If the thought of your dream doesn't make you get up at a different time, make you read the books, listen to the audios, and hang around with different people, it's not big enough. Your why will empower you to act differently. It'll make you carry yourself differently. It'll change you. It'll make you better. That's why your dream needs to be bigger than you currently are. It has to make you grow. The dream gives your life a purpose. Stop focusing on your past. Start focusing on your why. Remember, you have enormous God-given power to make your dream a reality. You just have to believe that you were created to make your dream a reality. I challenge you to find your why, to read it daily, to share it with the world, and to make your life an adventure. Write and use your why card so you can build and create a better life. Use your why card to make you relentless in the pursuit of your dreams. How to design your own life. We each have the responsibility to design our lives. The power to fulfill our dreams is within each of us. The day you take complete responsibility for yourself, the day you stop making excuses, is the day you start moving to the top. Success is up to you. Success won't fall in your lap. You have to go out and get it. You have to fight for it. Some people use every circumstance as an excuse to justify why they're not getting the results they want. Winners refuse to make excuses. No matter how dire their circumstances are, they simply focus on the goal and keep on keeping on. My brother Marcelo is a real winner. The story of what he had to overcome to make it to the Olympics is truly amazing. I competed in the 1988 Calgary and in the 1992 Albertville Winter Olympics. Then I retired from the luge and didn't slide for 6 years. 5 years before the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics, my Austrian coach called me on the phone. Coach said, "Ruben, the sport of luge needs Argentina again." I told him, "Forget it, coach. I'm done with luge. I have a family and I've already done the Olympic thing." Well, coach is a winner. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He kept calling. "Ruben, Salt Lake City would be great Olympic Games. The U.S. has the best Olympic spirit. You still have 5 years to train. You must come back. You'll regret it if you don't." "No thanks, coach. I'm done with this." But he was planting a seed. Now he had me thinking about it. Coach called again. He totally lost his accent. "Okay, Ruben, here's the deal. I'm putting on a 2-week luge training camp in Calgary. You get yourself to Calgary, and I'll take care of your room, your board, and all the track fees for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you tell me if you want to come back, no questions asked." Wow, at that point, I knew Coach was serious. Heck, in all the years I'd known him, Coach had never even bought me a drink. And here he was offering to pay for thousands of dollars worth of training. So I countered. "All right, Coach, here's the deal. I have a brother who's seen me go to 2 Olympics, and I've seen the look in his eyes. If your deal goes for him too, I'll go. After all, we still have 5 years before Salt Lake. Who knows? Maybe he can make it. Maybe he can crack into the top 50 in the world." Coach asked, "How old is he?" I said, "30 years old." "30 years old? Are you crazy? Forget it." I told him, "Coach, you got to see this guy. He's an awesome athlete. He can do it." Marcelo wasn't a great athlete. He was an architect. He was the artsy kind of guy. I don't think he'd ever broken into a voluntary sweat before. But Marcelo was mentally tough as nails. That's what made me think he could do it. Coach answered, "Okay, bring him along," and he hung up on me. After the phone call, I went over to Marcelo, who didn't have any idea that I was negotiating for him. And I said, "Marcelo, look, here's the deal. Worst case scenario, you got a free 2-week vacation. Best case scenario, who knows? You could become an Olympian. You got nothing to lose." Marcelo said, "Sounds good to me." We went to Calgary. After the first day of sliding, I knew I was back. Meanwhile, Marcelo caught the Olympic dream. As soon as we got back home, he started working out like a fiend and got himself into terrific shape. Marcelo made a decision to pursue the dream, to take the journey, to face the struggle with no guarantees of success. Remember, the day you take complete responsibility for yourself, the day you stop making excuses, is the day you start moving to the top. Every boss I've ever worked for supported my quest for the Olympics, and they supported it by allowing me to take off a few months a year to train. It was time off without pay, but at least I knew I had a job when I came back. They could see that the fact that I was using my job in the pursuit of my dream inspired the rest of the employees to work harder, because now they could see how they could use their jobs as a vehicle for their dreams. Now, Marcelo's boss didn't see it that way. Marcelo had been working for another architect for 5 years. As soon as Marcelo's boss realized how serious he was about pursuing his Olympic quest, he told Marcelo, "You have to make a choice. You either work for me or train for the Olympics." Now, at that point, most people would have quit on their dream and would have spent the rest of their lives regretting it. Marcelo went for the dream and quit his job. He was committed to his dream, and he was not about to let anybody steal it from him. Then Marcelo did something really smart. Over the years, he had developed strong relationships with contractors in the Houston area. So rather than getting another job and risking having another unsupportive boss, Marcelo started his very own architectural firm. His contractor friends sent him lots of business, and from day one, Marcelo had a steady stream of clients. He worked from his home for the first 4 years, and then later on, he moved his firm to an office building in one of the nicest parts of Houston. That's what winners do. They always look ahead to where they want to be, and they work hard to position themselves to be in a place of power when opportunity strikes. Losers don't plan ahead. They hope their dream will drop on their lap. Later, when their plans don't work, they spend the rest of their lives whining about how unlucky they were. Marcelo learned the luge and started competing internationally. In order to compete in the Olympics, he had to get good enough to crack into the top 50 in the world. In November 2001, just 3 months before the Olympics, we were racing in a World Cup race in Calgary. I had just finished my final run and was at the bottom of the track with all the other athletes who had just finished the race. We were all standing by a TV monitor watching the remaining racers' runs. Marcelo came barreling down the track, and right before entering the finish curve, his sled slammed into the straightaway wall. The impact sent him flying straight up to the woods, a small retaining wall that creates a lip over the curves. The woods are there to prevent the losers from flying off the track. However, when you hit the woods, it's very easy to break a knee. Marcelo hit the woods very hard. He went so much higher than the normal line sleds take that his sled hit a patch of concrete up at the top of the curve. When his steel runners hit the concrete, sparks 6 feet long shot behind his sled. It looked like an explosion behind him. Well, what goes up must come down. Marcelo fell about 20 feet, hit the bottom of the track, bounced back up, smashed into the woods again, and came to a stop at the end of the curve. His crash cost him to decelerate from 70 miles an hour to zero in less than 2 seconds. It was a very rough crash. We're all used to seeing crashes. However, when Marcelo crashed, there was a collective gasp from all the athletes. We all figured he'd probably broken both his legs and totaled his sled. Incredibly, after a couple of minutes, Marcelo climbed out of the track and limped out on his own. For the rest of the season, he iced his knee, which was swollen to the size of a melon, and he limped a bit when he walked, but he didn't complain once. Marcelo kept sliding and endured a couple of other crashes in the remaining season, all which must have hurt his knee even more, because it seems that whenever you get injured in the luge, all you ever do is keep re-injuring your injury. But Marcelo never complained. That's just his style. He's like the tortoise and the tortoise and the hare. He just keeps on moving on. I'm sure glad he's wired that way, because I had to room with him all season. I'd rather wrap myself in a blanket and sleep in the hallway than to have to room with a negative person. Back when I was playing soccer, a couple of guys on the team were chronic complainers. Coach did something really smart. He always had them rooming together so their bad attitude wouldn't infect the rest of the team. After a while, they both ended up quitting. Good riddance. I'm sure you've got a couple of whiners in your team or in your office too. They're always complaining about one thing or another, and nobody ever wants to be around them. Everybody wishes they would just quit. Marcelo didn't whine once. He kept racing despite his injuries. He kept accumulating those World Cup points. He kept his focus on breaking into the top 50. 2 races before the Olympics, I broke into the top 50. I was pretty beat up from the long season, so I decided to skip the last race. At that point, it looked like I was going to the Olympics and Marcelo was staying home. It didn't look like he could make up the difference. Then, on the last race of the season, Marcelo had a great result and ended up ranked 49th in the world. The 36-year-old architect was going to the Olympics. On February 8, 2002, Marcelo and I made Olympic history. We became the first set of brothers to ever compete against each other in the Olympic luge. Dreams do come true if you believe, and if you take massive action. Marcelo and I had promised each other that after the race, we'd go take some ski lessons. You see, even though the luge tracks are next to some of the best skiing in the world, we were always afraid of hurting ourselves skiing and ruining a whole luge season. As a result, we'd never even learn how to ski. I was probably the only 3-time winter Olympian in the world who'd never even skied. The day after our race, we took some ski lessons and skied all afternoon. On the way back to the Olympic Village, Marcelo said his knee was really hurting, so he wanted to get it checked out. That evening, he got an MRI and an X-ray done. The result? Marcelo had a broken kneecap. We kept the X-rays of Marcelo's knee because it was incredible. The fracture looks like one of those no smoking signs, a circle with a line through it. The doctors couldn't believe that Marcelo could ski with a broken knee. They said he should have had trouble walking. When Marcelo told the physicians that he'd broken the kneecap 3 months before and had qualified for the Olympics, it blew him away. Vince Lombardi said, "The good Lord gave you a body that can stand most anything. It's your mind you have to convince. Don't fall into the trap of using your health as an excuse for not pursuing your dream." Marcelo took responsibility for himself. He didn't use his circumstances as an excuse. He focused on what he had to do And by doing so, he not only made his Olympic dream come true, but he helped create Olympic history. What about you? Will you just hope your dreams come true? Or will you make a decision to pursue your dream? Go for it. Doing so will change your life. Do whatever it takes. This is the story of Barbara Higgins. Barbara Higgins competed in fencing for Panama at the 1984 Los Angeles Summer Olympics. She has a law degree from the University of Miami and a bachelor's in business administration and accounting. Barbara is the president of ASTA, a company that helps small businesses with their accounting and fiscal processes. Barbara lives in San Francisco. This is Barbara's story in her own words. I had always been very competitive. As long as I can remember, I was driven to be the best at everything I did. In my athletic life, and specifically as a fencer, the Olympics were a natural goal. I began to believe it was possible when several friends who had competed in the Olympics in fencing said I was good enough to make an Olympic team, which was 5 years before I got to compete. The biggest struggle I had was having to work and train at the same time. I was the strongest in 1980 while in college, but Panama joined the U.S. in their boycott of the Moscow Games. I had to regroup, and since I was out of college by then and just finishing law school in 1983, I didn't have the luxury of earlier years of training at the university for free. I had to pay for all of my living expenses and for my training and travel to tournaments, so I got a full-time job. My schedule for the year leading up to the games was to wake up at 5:30 a.m., to run or weight train from 6 a.m. till 7:30 a.m., and then take a train to work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Next, take trains to my fencing sal 1 hour away, grab a bite to eat on the train, and take lessons and practice from 6:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. Then drive home with a friend and get to bed by 10:30 p.m. and start again the next day. The weekends were filled with traveling to tournaments and to other sals to practice. You have to have a passion for your sport and the attitude that failure is not an option, and of course tenacity and a strong support group. This attitude has helped me tremendously in my business life, to never give up, to get the job done no matter what. As Coach would say, there are no excuses for winners. Making the Olympic team in 1984 was an extraordinary experience and has impacted my life in ways I would never have imagined. Not a day goes by that my experiences I had prior to, during, and after the Olympics have not helped me achieve my goals. Barbara focused on her Olympic dream and for years followed a grueling schedule to realize her dream. She worked out in the morning, worked a full day 9 to 5, then fenced till it was time to go to bed. And then she did it over again the next day. On weekends, she traveled to tournaments. If you're willing to do whatever it takes, for as long as it takes, success is just a matter of time. By learning the principles of success, you're doing what only a tiny percentage of people ever do. Once you understand these principles and start applying them consistently and persistently, you'll start creating a life few people get to live. This is four-time Olympian Ruben Gonzalez. Make it an Olympic day.